God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from Luke. It is the song of the angels given to us from God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is our text. Have you ever heard a song and then it sort of got stuck in your head? You know, where the melody and the words kept repeating over and over again. It keeps playing and you just can't stop it. For some of us, it might drive us nuts. For some of us, it might give us energy to go forward. And then what happens when this song continues to be rehearsed in our brain? We might start humming it. We might even start singing it. And this simple song now has consumed our whole life and our day, at least for a moment. Today's message is based on that concept. But we're not talking about any ordinary song. We're talking about the song of God, given to us by the angels. Because we know music plays a very important part in our lives. Music, in one essence, has the way of sort of relaxing the mind so the words can penetrate deep within us. And these words may keep repeating in our mind. And sometimes we enjoy these moments, and then there are some times when they do occur, we might get a little frustrated because we might want to do something else. We almost wish sometimes we could get that song out of our minds so that we can concentrate on, quote, more important matters. Well, tonight, there's a song I want you to imprint upon your mind and upon your heart and upon your soul. Now, fair enough, you need to concentrate on other things, but it's a song that I never want you to ever remove from yourselves. And it is the song of the angels. Tonight, as we gather at the eve of the Nativity, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we hear a song. We actually, tonight, will hear many songs, many different songs. But really, they are all playing the same song, just with a little different interpretation. Our text coming from the time where the angels make the announcements to the shepherds. The angel first had to say to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angel has to prep the people for the song. And then the song. Of the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." During the divine service, we have something similar taking place. We talk about the divine service as an opportunity for God to serve us. We remember 2,000 years ago, God indeed had a divine service in which he served all of humanity with the fulfillment of his promise that he would take on flesh and blood. We celebrate that day as the birth of our Savior. And tonight God continues to serve us with his song, which now becomes our song because of what this little baby has done for us. Before this baby came, before this baby suffered and died on the cross, we couldn't really praise God with a song. We need someone to atone for our sins, to take away our sins, to make us right with God. This only occurs because God fulfills his promises, and especially this promise. When God, the second person of the Trinity, would take on human flesh and blood from Mary, ultimately to suffer and die, to appease God for our sins, to bear our price of sins, which separates us from God, so that we, in turn, may praise God. It may sound kind of strange because typically we might think, but songs would naturally come off our lips. And wouldn't God naturally hear these songs? God indeed does know all things. But what God is looking for in hearing our prayers and hearing our songs is what's in the heart. The heart that's now been atoned for by the blood of this baby who was born in Bethlehem. It may sound gruesome to hear of a baby who was born in order to die, but that is our Savior, whose birth we celebrate. And so we sing about the glory of God, which is our glory, the glory that we receive and reflect. And as we sing about this glory, we do so first as we come together, as God calls us together with word and sacrament. Recently this week, I had the opportunity to watch that children's movie, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And it's interesting how it begins. The town people come and gather in the center, and they sing their song. Tonight, we get to sing this song together. We sing about the Gloria in Excelsis, on how God is glorified and brings this peace to us here on earth. There are two parts of this song, especially in our liturgy, where the pastor, or sometimes our vicar, will sing the first part, or say the first part, glory to God in the highest. And the second part, the people respond. Keep in mind those two parallel themes going on at the same time, where God is glorified in heaven above, and now he brings peace to the people on earth. In our liturgy, it's divided to kind of show you a little bit of the separation of heaven and on earth. That separation that once existed before our Savior, now after our Savior, no longer exists. The sins that separate heaven are atoned for by the blood of this baby. So we sing, we say this hymn now in parallel. And this is the song that praises God, that gives glory. Yes, it's about a little baby, cute and cuddly, going to the scornful cross to pay the price for our sins. This is the angel song given to them from God for us. And it becomes our song through God's word, through this baby taking on, God taking on flesh and blood as this baby, Jesus Christ. And now the second part. How well do you sing this song? Yes, we've heard this song talked about. We may remember the days of Christmas. We rehearse them every year. But how well do you sing it? Some of you may be saying, but Pastor, I don't have a real good voice. Do I really need to sing the song? Isn't it enough that I just think about it? Isn't it enough that I just say it? Let other people sing it who maybe have better voices. With God, however, this song is for you, and it doesn't matter how well you sing it. See, there was an important lesson that my grandfather taught me many years ago when I was a little boy. He taught me it was more important to sing, regardless how well I sang it. Yeah, it'd be nice to hit the right note every once in a while. And the way he taught me this was not that he sat me down and had a lecture with me one day after church. You know how little boys are. We never really want to listen. Maybe that also occurs when we get older also. Well, anyway, getting back to my sermon here. He showed it to me by example. You see, my grandfather was blessed with a beautiful voice. He hit two notes perfectly, one high and one low, and that was it. So in church, he sang. And he sang with his heart, because even though it was not the exact words that the angel sang that first night in Bethlehem, the meaning was still there. And it was a song that was very important to him, the praise and glory of God. Yes, my grandfather just sang two notes, one high, one low, and it didn't matter that most of the time he wasn't on pitch. What this little boy learned, it was important you sing it. The same is true with the song of God. It's important you sing it. Whether you have the perfect pitch or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you hear it, you learn it, you take it home, and you teach it. And the best way that that's possible is the song you have to sing, it gets put into your head, and you go over and over and over again. By singing these songs of praise, we sing the words of Christ with the message of His grace deep into our hearts so that it remains there and does its work. There's more to these songs than just the pitch. It is the words, the message, and Christ comes via that word. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul urges us just to do that. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And so as this night, as we are reminded of the many Christmas carols, we're reminded about the many songs of giving praise and glory to God, I want this song to be imprinted upon your heart and upon your mind, to be rehearsed each and every day. As we take the song of the church, it becomes a devotional song in us, a song of the heart. And the Holy Spirit uses that song to make music in our hearts to the Lord and to produce a sense of ongoing joy and grateful thanksgiving to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this song of God, given from the angels to you, turns us into praise singers, so to speak, who carry over that song into our daily lives. And once that song of praise sings itself into our hearts and makes itself home there, it turns our whole life more and more into an enactment of praise and thanksgiving to God. Through the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us, we now become givers of thanks, as Paul repeatedly reminds us. And then something happens to us. That song that goes over in our minds and our hearts now has a resonating effect. You see, music is all about vibration. And when we start vibrating and we connect ourselves to something that isn't vibrating, that vibration naturally starts to carry over. So it is with this song that enters our hearts, enters us, and now flows from us. This song resonates with the song of the church and the divine service. This inner song of thanksgiving to God the Father, which is heard only by Him, now vibrates through us to all people by what we say and do. Since we do everything in the name of Jesus, He permeates everything that we are. Regardless of our musical talent, like my grandfather, we are all members of the heavenly choir here on earth. And our task is to take that song, whether we have perfect pitch or not, doesn't matter, but to proclaim that song, to live that song, so that others may hear and see that song in our lives. We live for the praise and glory of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who lives in us. And we take this song home, and we let this song fill our lives. You live the song that God gives to you from the angels. You live in that love and that forgiveness that Christ child brings to you from Bethlehem to Calvary. And when you live in that love and forgiveness, you naturally sing out that love and forgiveness to others around you because of what Christ has done. You see, the song does not end here. It begins here. As you live it, like the musical vibrations of the song vibrates through you to other people. And so this is our song. Like couples many years ago who would meet and fall in love with a particular song, and they would say, "This is our song. This is our song that brought us together. This is our song that sort of celebrates our life together." As Christians, we say to God, "This is our song." The song that the angels sing. Not that God is trying to make the Billboard charts or sell millions of MP3 downloads, but God intends this song for you, to show you His love, for you to resonate His love in your lives, so that others may also catch the tune and then have that tune resonate in their hearts, the tune of God's song. So our song given to us is the song of the angels from God. For you, it is our song. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.